tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I appreciate your return as we enter the month of Août, as they say in French, or Agosto, as they say in my mother tongue of Espanol. Before we begin this episode on chlorine, I just want to remind you that you can find my articles and recipes, including essential oil recipes, at naturopathicearth.com. That's naturopathic.com. Also, I suggest that you listen to my partner Kate McCall's podcast on essential oils and herbs called Kate's Apothecary. She's going to be releasing a podcast soon on the coolness of peppermint. Also, please go to our website and opt in so you get our emails, our newsletters, our articles sent directly to your email, and you automatically get enrolled in an essential oil blend raffle. We're about every 2 or 3 weeks. We pick a name and you get a free essential oil blend made by Kate, who's a clinical herbalist and aromatherapist. Yes. So please contact me on Facebook, A. Gregory Luna, or you can find me on Twitter at Naturopath Earth. So let's talk about chlorine. Chlorine. We are used to the chlorine, are we not? Every time we go swimming. Well, you know, if it's coming from me, you know, like my students always say, they're like, oh, everything's going to kill you, Mr. Luna, because you always mention everything that kills us. You know, we might as well just die right now. Well, look, I don't feel like my mission is to make everybody paranoid and wear tinfoil hats and live in a bubble and don't leave their house, even though arguably indoor air is much more polluted than outdoor air. That's not my job. I think my role is just to notify you of these things and things that we take for granted, like chlorine, right? Like plastics, like cosmetics, like receipts, having BPA, you know, like all these things, food dyes. And so I just wanted to bring up chlorine really fast. So I think most of you guys know that chlorine is used as a disinfectant. We originally put it in public swimming pools way back in the early 1900s. We did have public swimming pools back in the early 1900s, if not earlier. And we had a pretty bad problem with E. coli. And so they realized that if we put a small amount of chlorine in the swimming pool, it would really control the E. coli growth, which is great. I mean, we definitely want to kill those pathogenic bacteria. However, there is a problem with chlorine, and chlorine has been linked to many, many problems. Many problems, in fact. So let's go over some of the side effects or some of the health factors related to exposure to chlorine. And then we're going to talk about a couple of ways that chlorine messes with our body specifically. And then I'm going to give you some solutions how you can limit your chlorine. Because honestly, I'm not expecting you to go swim in a river or a lake instead of your swimming pool, because swimming pools are convenient. I'm not expecting you to do that. But again, as with all things, even with fluoridated water, which we'll talk about soon, there are things that we can do to reduce our exposure, just like to MSGs and potassium sorbate and plastics and electromagnetic radiation and all these other things. But there's been numerous studies on the effects of chlorine on the body. And a couple of things that have come up, and probably the biggest study was one that was done in Belgium, back over in Europa a few years ago. And it showed that they did this gigantic study of 1,000 teenagers. And they noticed that those who swam more often, up to 1,000 hours in the pool, had a higher rate of developing asthma and allergies. Now, this was eight times more likely the risk of developing asthma or allergies as opposed to kids who swim in pools using the copper silver disinfecting method, which is the newer method. We don't necessarily have to chlorinate any more of the pools. There's other ways that we can clean it. So they did this study, and they did it for annual exposure. And so kids that only swam anywhere from 100 to 500 hours had a twice the risk of developing asthma. But those who developed, or those who were in the pool from 500 to 1,000 hours, had twice the risk of that. And asthma quadrupled. In addition, those women who are pregnant, they have a higher rate of having kids with birth defects because of chlorine. And I'm going to mention why that is in a second. Adults have a higher rate of getting bladder cancer and rectal cancer, colorectal cancer. Also, there is a higher rate of erosion of your tooth enamel. So you got to keep that mouth closed when you're accidentally drinking the water. So you want to avoid that as well. Also, you have a higher rate of hay fever and other seasonal allergies. So those are just a couple of things. No, definitely we don't want any of these things. So one of the reasons why this is a problem is because chlorine will eventually break down and it creates byproducts called trihalomethanes, which are THMs, and haloacetic acids, HAAs. And THMs and HAAs are linked to reproductive problems like stillbirths in animals and humans. And they also are the ones that are also responsible for all the previous side effects that are related to chlorine. I mean, one of the trihalomethanes, one of its sister chemicals is chloroform, which is, of course, the chemical that we use to knock ourselves out. So exposure to chlorine too much can lead to kidney damage, liver damage, and damage to your nervous system. So these are not all good things. Okay, we want to avoid these. Some other things that chlorine does is that it kills our probiotic bacteria, and we've talked a lot about MP Earth Radio how important it is to take care of your good bugs. Chlorine kills bacteria. I mean, that's the whole reason why they put it in swimming pools. So it would make sense that when we ingest chlorine, and I forgot to mention that we think of chlorine mostly as being in swimming pools, which is where they are. Chlorine is in swimming pools, but actually they put chlorine in water, the drinking water as well, because again, going back to the good old days of 100 years ago, when water was filthy, they'd put in chlorine to kill the bacteria in there as well. So a lot of the chlorine that we get, and actually the majority of the chlorine we get is actually inhaled, similar to fluoride. But the second highest amount is ingested. So when we drink water that's got chlorine in it, which is all of our water, because we think of water as being treated with fluoride, right? Because the fluoride, fluoridated water is the big killer, the big low IQ lower, but it's also treated with chlorine. Okay, so when we drink chlorine, it's killing bad bacteria, which is its job, but it also kills good bacteria. It's killing probiotic bacteria like lactobacilli. Lactobacilli, probably along with Acidophilus, are the two most prevalent, well-known probiotic bacteria. So when we drink a lot of chlorinated water, which we drink a lot of water, it does have the effect of killing our bacteria. And so this is going to lead to dysbiosis. So you do need to balance this out. And aside from getting a filter, which I'll mention later, of course, it does help to eat a lot of prebiotics and probiotics as well. So just, it makes sense, right? You're killing, the whole job of it is to kill bacteria. So it's going to be killing your good bacteria as well. Another thing that chlorine does is acts as an estrogen mimic or a xenoestrogen. We've talked about how phthalates, parabens, plastics, for example, are fake estrogen. And so when chlorine's absorbed into our body, it becomes a xenoestrogen. And xenoestrogens lead to estrogen dominance, which can eventually lead to both female and male cancers, breast cancers, testicular cancers, and also hair loss, fatigue, lack of libido, low thyroid, low blood sugar, insomnia, and even PMS. And it can lead to vitamin deficiencies like zinc and magnesium and B vitamins. So we don't like xenoestrogens or foreign estrogens because it throws off the natural thermostat of our hormones being made in the body. So again, so just add like another xenoestrogen to the list of xenoestrogens that we're exposed to. So add chlorine to that. Another thing that chlorine can do is possibly make us gain weight. And the reason for this is that when we ingest chlorine or chlorine is absorbed by the body, it displaces the iodine that's in your thyroid, which can lead to hypothyroidism. And I think a lot of you know that the thyroid is responsible for your metabolism, regulating your metabolism. And so one of the unwanted side effects is weight gain. When you're hypothyroidic, you tend to gain weight, as opposed to hyperthyroidic, where you tend to have a rapid heartbeat and you tend to be very hot and warm and you tend to lose weight. Great. So yeah, that's what else that chlorine does, right? It can slow down your thyroid and mess with that. So look, I'm not expecting you to live in a bubble, as I mentioned. So let's talk about some ways that we can reduce the exposure of chlorine. Okay, so one of the things you can do is, let's start with the pool, because again, we are pretty much, we connect chlorine to swimming. So one of the things that you can do day in, day out, especially if you like to swim a lot, which we like to do in the summer, is wear a mask. And because a mask, again, well, while you're underwater, and especially when you're above water, and this is something I want to mention, like people who are responsible for cleaning and putting chlorine to the pools, they're also exposed to this because we inhale it when we're right outside of the pool. We don't really think of it that way, but we do. So one of the things that you can do is wear a mask when you're swimming. Just wear a mask. That tends to help. And just anecdotally too, wearing sunscreen, even if you're wearing the better types of sunscreen, either, you know, natural remedies or natural do-it-yourself ones, or the ones that have zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, the good ones, they don't really make a difference. You're still going to absorb the chlorine through your skin regardless of the sunscreen. So it's not going to do much of a difference. But if you're going to be swimming, so wear a mask and a snorkel, that helps. And then as soon as you get out of the pool, rinse off, because that's going to minimize the amount of chlorine that's absorbed in your skin. I mean, to kind of try to think of the pool as like a flea dip in a way that we do to animals, right? So you're absorbing it when you're in the pool, when you're underwater, when you're above water, because you're breathing the chemicals that are coming off of the water, the surface of the water. And then while you're in the water, you're absorbing the chlorine as well. But again, it's all about minimizing. So shower up really quickly. Use the shower that they have at the pool. That tends to help really fast. And then when other things that you can do at the house is put in a filter. Most filters that you can get at Home Depot or Lowe's do remove chlorine. It's much easier to find a filter that removes chlorine than it does to remove fluoride. Fluoride is much tougher to remove, which we'll talk about later. So you can put a filter on your shower, because as I mentioned, the most common way we introduce chlorine into our body is by inhaling it, either at the pool or typically in long showers, just like fluoride. We get most of our fluoride exposure not from drinking water that has fluoride, but by inhaling it in showers, just like chlorine. We're getting it from ingesting water that's been treated with chlorine, because all the water has, but we're getting most of it from the shower. So by installing a filter that eradicates or filters out the chlorine, you're not exposed to that. And then also you can get a water filter, you know, attach it to your faucet, your drinking faucet, or maybe the one that you have that's coming through your refrigerator will remove chlorine. So you might want to check and see, maybe perhaps on the description of the filter that you have in your refrigerator, whether or not it's going to do that. And lastly, one of the things you can do, and I know this is kind of far-fetched, but you can actually go to the pool that you belong to, whether it be the Y or whatever pool, and ask them if they're using chlorine and see if they can use another system. As I mentioned, silver copper ion generators tend to be the newer ones. So there are ways that you can minimize your exposure. And if you doubt whether or not chlorine is bad for you, now bleach has got chlorine, right? And I think most of you guys have opened bleach, and millions of accidents and injuries happen every year in American homes because of it. So you open bleach and it releases chlorine gas, and it gets straight into your nose, and you're like, whoosh, it's like burning your nose. It's almost like a chemical weapon. And so it causes eye irritation and coughs and chest pains and difficulty breathing. So, I mean, you might have to call poison control. So chlorine is definitely something that we need to take seriously. So before I end this podcast, just again, I don't want you living in a bubble, but I want you to be just, again, be familiar with these things and reduce your exposure. So I'm not telling you to get off of your phone. What I'm telling you is don't stream, and definitely don't use the phone to make phone calls when you're traveling at fast distances. Those are two definite ways you can reduce your exposure: keeping the phones away from you when you're streaming, or your iPad, put it off your waist. And then there's ways to reduce MSGs. Don't get flavored foods or flavored chips. There's ways to eliminate aspartame from your body or from your diet. Don't get diet foods, but also be able to read the labels. As we've already talked about phthalates, there's ways to remove phthalates. For example, don't have vinyl in the house. Get rid of a lot of the backpacks, the cosmetics that have parabens, PVC pipes, and plastics, of course. So what I'm saying is just minimize your exposure. And with the chlorine, it's the same thing. So masks if you can, even though you might look a little dorky, but definitely shower off as quickly as you can. And then definitely put in filters for the shower and for your water faucet. Okay. So that's really all I have to say, guys. Take care. God bless. And until next time, go swim in a river or a lake and enjoy that cool river, especially now in the summer. All right, guys. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.